Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Paranormal Hour. I'm sorry. I have wanted to do that forever. I've been thinking about it all day. Welcome to the Paranormal Hour here on the World of Ink Network on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Willow Cross, and I'm here with my co-host and partner in crime, horror author extraordinaire J.H. Glaze. In a few minutes, we'll be speaking with author and paranormal investigator Tracy Ford. This is an awesome show. I'm really excited about it. J.H., are you as excited about this show as I am tonight?
I can barely stay in my chair.
Oh, goodness. Okay, listen, before we bring Tracy on, I want to talk about a couple of things. World of Ink, for those of you that are new to the show, has a ton of radio shows, just about something for everyone. We have A Good Story is a Good Story with Marcia Casper Cook, Book Discussion with Fran Lewis, The Writing Mama Show with author Donna McDine, The Edge with the notorious Cassandra Dane, and The Right Step with R.J. Jeffries. And I hope I didn't miss anybody, and if I did, I'm terribly sorry, folks. So join us. They've got a lot of good shows coming up. And, Jeff, you've got some stuff going on, some killer stuff. Before we get into the nitty-gritty, what's the deal with this red carpet event you went to last night?
Well, this is the Urban Media Makers Film Festival, and it's being held in Norcross, Georgia. Tomorrow afternoon from 2 o'clock till 3:30, I'll be hosting a writer's workshop. And if anybody's in the Norcross area, feel free to stop by. I'm sure they have tickets left for it. But I'm pretty stoked about it. It's an opportunity to meet some directors and producers and actors and things like that.
That sounds awesome. That sounds like a seriously great networking experience. And what do you got going on with your books?
I just released
Go ahead.
You know, I just released a new episode of my series Room about a week and a half ago, and working on the next episode, and have three projects going on at the same time right now. How about you?
Well, that sounds like me. I just finished Haunted 4 today. It's in the editor's inbox. I'm really proud of myself because this is the first time since last year that I've actually hit a deadline with having a book done. So, yay me. And then, of course, we've got the web series. The Demon Revolution web series is starting to – it's in pre-production. It's getting ready to go from the pre-production stage into the production stage. I think they're going to be doing casting calls like next month, and these people are phenomenal. This production company, Potato King Productions, are just amazing. The stuff that they've done already, the things that they've shown me, has just blown my mind. So I'm really excited, and I would love to tell you all a whole lot more about that, but I am contractually bound to keep my mouth shut, so I can't. But that's going on. Haunted 4 will release next weekend, and then the print version of Haunted 3 and 4 together will also release next weekend, and right before Halloween, everyone can look for 13 Graves. It is complete and total fiction, and it's horror genre, adult horror genre. I hope it scares the absolute crap out of everybody. And that's it for me. Well, oh, wait, before we go on, I want to tell you something. The strangest thing happened when I was – Haunted 4 has other people's ghost stories in it. And I met this guy, and he was telling me his ghost story, and so I was taking notes and asking questions, writing it all down. And when I got to the stage where I was actually writing the story, I realized that there were a lot of similarities between the entity that he saw and an entity that I made up just 2 weeks ago for a short blog post I wrote for a friend's blog for Halloween. And it really freaked me out. I mean, because, I mean, it wasn't identical, but there were a lot of similarities to the point where I was like, okay, what's going on here? Why does his bad guy look like my bad guy when mine's made up? Which brings us to, that was my segue into introducing our paranormal investigator, author and paranormal investigator Tracy Ford. Tracy, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
We are so excited to have you on the show tonight.
I truly appreciate it.
I've been watching some of your YouTube videos today, and all I can say is, whoa, dude. That's some scary stuff. Why don't you tell the listeners about your books and what's going on with you?
I have two novels out right now. The first one debuted in April, and it is entitled Between Worlds Series Volume 1, The Fine Line. And it is a paranormal romance, but it's not the typical paranormal romance that everybody's used to right now. It explores a couple, and they purchase a historical home and then find that it's actually haunted, and the stepdaughter plays a major role in cleansing the home and removing the entities, and there's a lot of demonic attack going on and different things like that. The second book is more crime related. The title of it is Eidolon: Visions of the Undone, and it actually came out on August 30th. And it is available, both are available in paperback on Amazon, and then The Fine Line is available on Amazon as well as Smashwords, and the same with Eidolon. Eidolon is about a serial killer, and he is stalking college-age women, and he buries them alive. And Lauren Harris is the main character in that book. She is a forensic psychologist, but she also can see and speak to the dead. And she's able to put the puzzle pieces together, but things turn out very unfavorably for her. However, it does have a happy ending. But they're both paranormal-based. I'm published through PDMI Publishing, which is a small press in Alabama, and they have been wonderful to work with, wonderful people. They designed all my covers, which are phenomenal. T.C. McKinney did that. But I started writing when I was very young, but I did not get into the paranormal aspect until 2008. And I guess the reason why I did that was because we were living across the street from this beautiful historical home in southwestern Ohio, and they had trees out front, and one of them got struck by lightning, and it literally, the sparks, like, came into our bedroom.
Oh, wow.
So we went over to tell them the next day, hey, you know, your tree got struck by lightning, because they didn't even know it. And they actually let us come into the house. So the house that's featured in The Fine Line is that house. Now, their house is not haunted, but when I went back over to our house, I thought, wouldn't it be cool to write a book about a haunted house like that? And that's sort of where that idea came from. The idea for Eidolon came from me going to graduate school, because I majored in forensic psychology. And I guess I just wanted to see how deviant I could be in trying to, I guess, concoct a plan to for a serial killer, and I had wonderful case studies to look at, and I thought it would be really cool to have a really smart, really eccentric person trying to solve all of these things, but wouldn't it be even neater to have her be able to talk to these victims, but yet she can't tell anybody that she can do that. She has to figure out the crime based on the evidence that is presented to her. So that's sort of the book that I've written. I'm working on the second book in the series of the Between Worlds series, and it's entitled Through Glass Darkly, and it's going to take up with Olivia Gregory, which is the daughter of the two main characters in the first installment. So
that's cool.
I'm hard at work doing that. But
that's a little bit about the book. Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty of this whole paranormal investigation thing. When you were on our last show, we were trying to discuss orbs and all of that, but how did you get into actual paranormal investigation? Now, I've seen your videos, so I understand why you did, but for the listeners, tell them how you came about this amazing career.
It actually started when I was a child. I lived in a home that they weren't even able to date the residents. And I remember I was very, very small, and my room was very large, and it was in the back part of the house. And I would always see a woman standing outside of my closet door at night. I never saw her during the day, and I never went to the closet because it scared me. And I explain a little bit in the YouTube video that children associate what they understand.
Right.
And I understood her to be a witch. That's what my frame of reference was. I can still see her in my mind. She was very old, hunched over, grayish black hair. She looked like a witch to me. And she would never say anything to me. She never did anything to me. It was just she appeared to me. I could see her, and no one else could see her. And I never really said anything to anybody about it. She would invade my dreams. She would never hurt me, but she would just scare me. And I was terrified to go to sleep. I would have dreams also of these demonic figures, and I would be like being tossed into this fire and tormented and tortured. And
I
was very, very young. And
that's pretty outrageous for a small child to be having. And just for, you know, argument's sake, your family wasn't one that would let you watch like horror movies at 4 years old.
No,
right?
Absolutely not. They were very protective of me in that respect. We were a church-going family, very fundamentalist, very religious. I was not exposed to anything like that growing up. Those things exposed themselves to me.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I look back on it, I honestly wonder if a lot of what I saw growing up was not past life memories coming through. I'm not too sure about that. I haven't actually explored that. But that is where the paranormal piece of me, I guess, came to life. And then as you get older, you lose sight of that because you're tainted by what the world wants you to know and wants you to think, as well as religious practices and fundamentalism. So it kind of died off, but there was still lots of times growing up that I would get feelings about things. gut feelings of not to do this or to do this. But what I try to explain to people is I do not see entities. I do not have the ability to actually see them. I hear them, and I can see things in my mind, but I actually don't see someone standing in front of me right now. My inlet is dream activity and my mind's eye. That sixth sense gets turned on, and I can see events that people have lived through, and then I can see those people in my mind.
Yeah,
and
I think that a lot of people get confused when we start talking about psychic perception. People sometimes get confused thanks to these awesome movies and TV shows on what exactly that entails, that it's not necessarily that you walk into a room and you just see dead people everywhere. Some people can. I know someone who can, good friend of mine. But it's not something that you can just turn on. It happens or it doesn't. And some people, I can turn it off. Some people can't even turn it off. It's just there. And it takes a long time to learn how to shut it out.
How to deal with it. That's right. That's very true.
But I think
each person has a gift. I mean, you have to, I think you have to figure out what that gift is and then learn more about it.
Do you think that you have such an experience? Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
My gift is always peanut butter. That's how I get them to come out.
Believe it or not, there are some that are like, what are you eating?
when you were a child, Tracy, did you talk to your parents about this? I mean, how did they react?
My parents are not very open to this at all. I actually went from fundamentalism to atheism when I divorced and did not find my way back to some semblance of spiritualism until about 2012. And it was actually through a chiropractor who is also a holistic physician that I was able to find my way back to where I needed to be. And once I did that and made the conscious decision to live a positive life, take each piece of religion or spiritualism and then decide what was in my best interest and what was going to help me, that's when all the paranormal stuff started switching on in my adult life. And unique ever since.
This is really something, you know, because my wife is always talking about her chiropractor, right? And she's always saying how, you know, the alignment changes everything. And see, in your situation, the alignment took care of everything.
It really did. I mean, I went there. I didn't even think I had any problems. And when I went there for the purpose of, you know, am I healthy? Do I need adjusting? Different things like that. And that's how it started out. But the fact that he was a holistic physician on top of that, but not only that, he was a spiritual healer, which I had no idea because, of course, he didn't advertise that piece of his professionalism. It was only when I started on a nutritional regimen and did like a detoxifying through one of his programs. And I mean, when I went to him, I was a mess. I was an emotional mess.
I have to get used to the delay here. Was he able to sense something was different about you? I mean, did he know that you had some kind of ability and he was trying to help you bring that out, or was it all kind of coincidental?
It was I honestly don't believe in coincidence. I believe that there's a divine reason for everything. But he's never shared with me, you know, I knew that this, you had this ability. But when I shared with him, you know, your book really opened my eyes and these things have been happening to me, he was not at all surprised. I think he probably knew but didn't want to push it.
In his holistic healing, was he one that worked with, like, the chakras and stuff like that?
I'm not really sure.
I don't know a whole lot about that. I know a little bit. That's not something I've ever really looked into, but it fascinates me, where you have to clear your chakra and all that
he
stuff.
He does, like, I'm trying to think of the actual term, but he did, like, muscle tone testing and herbal supplements is what his naturalist type healing is. But I had no idea he had the ability to read past lives. He's a healer in every sense of the word. But because he is so embedded in the chiropractic field right now and the holistic herbal and vitamin supplement field, he isn't able to do those things right now. But he definitely explained to me, you need to find a reader because there's more that you don't know that I can't get, you know, that he did not have time to get into. But
I would be terrified to have someone read my past lives because with some of the stuff that's happened in my present life, I'm guessing I would be a really bad person.
Well, what happened to me was my husband's cousin passed away very tragically, and he was very young, and we were standing in line at the funeral home, and I kept hearing someone talking to me, and I kept looking over at my husband because the funeral home, I mean, we waited for 2 hours to get in because
oh, wow.
This man was so loved, and he was a pillar of the community. And I kept thinking, who is talking to me? And we walk up to the casket and I was by myself. My husband had went ahead of me, and I can still hear someone talking to me. And I'm thinking, I am losing my mind. It's true. I'm going to be schizophrenic. There's no doubt in my mind now that I've completely lost my mind. And he kept telling me things about his wife. He kept telling me things about his children. And I sort of kind of in passing just said, I think your cousin tried to contact me. And I figured my husband would be like, get the hell out of the truck. But he didn't react adversely at all. And then the next day, I've never met this man in my life. And I'm standing at the church with my husband, and I'm just beside myself with grief. And I'm thinking, this is the most horrible thing I've been. I mean, it was the saddest funeral. And I kept hearing, not just talking, screaming, you have to go talk to my mom. You have to go tell my mom I'm okay. And I'm thinking, dude, you've got to cross over because you're screaming at me.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not leave until we went to the graveside, and I said, you have got to go now. You cannot stay here. And what was weird is I would have never known how to do that or to do that until months before that, I had watched The Ghost Whisperer, and it was actually recorded on my DVR, and nobody set that recording. It just appeared.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, what is this all? I asked my son, my husband, I was like, did somebody record this? No, nobody did. And I watched the whole series on YouTube or on Netflix from start to finish. I would have never known to do that if I would not have watched that series. And once I did, he was gone.
Wow. That's amazing.
And that's pretty much what started the interest in, I think I can help people. And it sort of just took off from there. Although the first paranormal investigation was very botched. and that was not fun. That was not fun at all.
What happened? Tell us what happened.
There was a group of four, my husband, myself, and two other individuals, and I got the idea that I would share some things with her, and there's local legends about several different things in our area, and I thought, wouldn't it be cool to go and check these out? And so we were like, sure, let's go do that. Well, we went to the graveyard that's close to our home, and it was daylight. I mean, it was like probably around supper time, 7 o'clock maybe. And I'm just snapping pictures, and I would take pictures whenever I felt like I needed to, and I was just starting to get to know, like, my spirit guides and my protective entities and different things like that. And we caught a lot of photographic evidence, which is actually on the Southern Ohio Ghost Hunters website, or, I'm sorry, Facebook page. But we caught, like, full-bodied apparitions, shadows of, like, a horse, which I'm assuming belonged to a soldier. This was a very active cemetery, but I don't feel like there was negativity there.
That doesn't sound botched to me. That sounds like a super investigation.
That was not botched at all. That piece went very well. The second place that we went was in another county, and it was alleged that something happened to either a female child. I told them, I said, I want to go in cold. Don't tell me anything.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got out there, we got audible crying, and that place, I did not feel comfortable being on that ground. And when I went out there, I thought, okay, I'm going to do this, but if I get freaked out, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I kept going through the cemetery. You would hit hot spots, cold spots. I never felt alone, ever. And then when I heard the girl crying, and then we got it on tape, I was like, that's freaky. Well, the gentleman that we were with, he said, I'm going to go this direction. And something told me, you are not going there. And I thought, okay, I'm not going there. And I stayed in another part of the cemetery. And the next thing I know, he is running back towards us, screaming, get in the truck. Everybody needs to get in the truck. So
oh,
we get
wow.
in the truck, and I'm like, what happened? He said, we need to leave now. And I said, okay. Well, we go to town, and we pull in at a gas station, and we're like, you know, we need to calm down before we go anyplace else. And he says that he went to the back part of the cemetery, which was where I was told not to go, and that he heard something running towards him from the woods. And
oh, wow.
He ran to the truck. And now I know that what ran towards him crawled up on him. And I found that out that night. But we're sitting in the truck, and we hear something bang on the glass. And I thought it was him putting his arm around the other young lady that we were with. And they both look at each other and look at us, and they're like, did you hear that? And I thought, this is not good. So then we went to one last place, and I was specifically again told, do not get out of the truck. You do not belong here. You're not getting out of this truck. And I thought, I will not argue, I'm not doing it. He did. He got out of the truck, he took my phone, he took pictures. There was not really much that we got there photographically. But before we got home, he says, let me off, and it's like a block away. He's like, I don't feel comfortable, I need to walk this off. And we come in, we analyze the photographs, everything, everybody leaves. And I'm standing in my bedroom, and I'm thinking, man, I don't feel like I'm by myself. And the nightmares started that night, which I thought it was all because I was keyed up from the investigation.
Right.
And then I actually was off work that Monday, and I like to sleep in when I don't have to work. And I have a 100-pound dog who could probably knock over a semi-truck. And when he wants you awake, he will slam up against the bed. And that happened to me that Monday morning. And I thought, damn it, I'm trying to sleep. Why is he slamming against the bed? And I got up and I told my husband, I said, the dog just woke me up. And he was like, the dog's outside. And I thought, this is not good. So the dreams continued. I constantly felt like I was being watched, mainly in my bedroom. And that afternoon, my husband and I laid down for a nap, and I literally felt the sheets being lifted up off of my legs and dropped. Lifted, dropped, lifted, dropped. And I thought, I brought something home with me. But I wasn't hearing anything. I wasn't hearing my spirit guides talking to me like they usually do. I was getting no communication from anyone or anything at all.
Oh, wow.
And
I heard blocking out everything.
It was blocking out everything. And I thought, maybe I really don't have these gifts. Maybe I don't. And it was shaking my faith, which is exactly what demonic entities are supposed to do. And that night, this went on for like 7 full days. And it was nighttime. I was having an acid reflux issue. I was sitting up in bed, asleep, and I look over, and in my dream, I see this man standing beside my bed, and I can see him from the neck down. He is in a white tank top. He's frail. He reminds me of a Holocaust victim. And it was then that I felt the intense another past life revelation. So not all bad came out of that situation. But I'm reaching over because he's getting ready to touch me. And I woke myself up slapping his hand away. So that happened midweek. Friday night, I come home. My son and my husband are outside. I'm sitting in my recliner. I'm playing on my laptop, and I feel heat from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, intense, immobilizing heat. And I could not move. I could not talk. I could not think.
Oh, man.
I tried to pray in my mind. Nothing would form. And I thought, this is not a human spirit. There's no way that this is a human spirit. The next morning, I researched it and found that heat signatures are related to demonic activity most of the time. So
yeah,
whatever had crawled up on this guy, he dropped it off at my house, and I ended up texting him it was Sunday afternoon, and I said, we're going to have to do a cleansing. And his immediate response was, I'm not doing a cleansing. And
oh,
I thought,
wow.
I thought,
he brought
you
it to your house and then just said, okay, we're just going to leave it
there. I'm not doing a cleansing. We're not doing a cleansing. And I thought, I'm not living with this thing for the rest of my life. And I came home. I got a shower. We had been swimming all day. I'm standing in my mirror, and I'm straightening my hair. And I can feel whatever it is right beside my face. And I remember slamming down the straightener and saying, get out of my house. You do not belong here. Go back to where you came from. You have no right to be in my home. Get out of my house. And instantly it was gone. And I remember it was almost like somebody flipped a switch and I could hear the spirit guides again. And I
oh,
got
wow.
a text. 2 hours later from his girlfriend saying that the activity had started back at his house.
Oh, wow. So that was a textbook case of demonic oppression.
Mm-hmm. And
wow.
It wasn't the first time something like that has happened to me, but that was the most intense and the longest period that had ever happened to me.
Now, let me ask you a question about that. What I'm wondering is, after an experience like that, why would you want to continue along the lines of doing that kind of stuff? I mean, when there's a possibility that something that you bring in that could follow, you can bring home that's like pure evil. I mean, I would probably just say, okay, I think I'll just like hang out.
See you later, bye.
Yeah, I kind of did that. That happened in July of 2012, and I did not do another investigation until February 2013. That is what my standpoint was, is I'm done with this. I'm not doing this. I don't want any part of this. I'm not going to have that kind of risk ever again. And it just so happened that one of my coworkers is a paranormal investigator, and she's also an ordained minister of light. And she was like, you know, we really need some help. There's a couple that's experiencing some problems at their house. I know that you have a gift and that you can hear people and you can do an assessment. And she said, this is the way we do our investigations. It's very different than what you did before. And she said, I can promise you that whatever happens, you will not take it home. And I said, I'm going to have to think about this and meditate on it because I don't want to ever experience something like that again. And I guess for lack of the better term, I consulted with my spirit guides and said, what do you want me to do? And it was almost like, you can help these people. You need to do it. That's why you are supposed to be a paranormal investigator. It's not to debunk legend and bring stuff home. It's to help people that need help. So I went very reluctantly with her, her husband, another gentleman, and my husband. And she did a prayer of protection at the very beginning of the investigation before we even got started.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a releasing prayer at the end. And nothing ever happened to me. The only thing that happened to me was not negative at all. We actually crossed over a little boy that night, and he came back the next day to basically say thank you because his mom made him come and say thank you. And that
It's very strange. I want to make sure that the listeners, for those of you that might be thinking about doing paranormal investigations, or those of you that are doing them have just started out and maybe you don't know a lot about how to protect yourself, there are multiple ways to seal yourself off and protect yourself from taking an entity home with you or from them piggybacking. And when I say multiple, I mean there are just a whole lot of ways to do it. But it's very important that whichever way you choose to do, you do something. Because you don't know what you're getting into. I've heard some real horror stories about folks doing some amateur ghost hunting and bringing home a diabolical that absolutely shredded their family. I mean, it didn't kill him or anything, but there's worse things than death.
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely correct. And that's why, like, we aren't doing any ghost investigations right now because she's pregnant and I won't go without her.
And she most definitely should not be doing any ghost investigations.
I mean, we haven't been asked to do anything yet. But I will not go without her. She is the balancing force in that group, and you don't let something like that go. yes, I'm sure I could do other investigations with other individuals, and there are people out there that I would do investigations with because they also do a faithful prayer of protection and a release, but I trust her. I trust her with every ounce of my being. She's a wonderful coworker. She's a good friend. And we experience that together. And that is actually a bonding situation. So I won't go without her. And, of course, she's out of commission for quite some time right now. But
it
doesn't mean that things shut off or turn back on or whatever. Because I have experiences almost on a daily basis.
Right.
So it doesn't shut itself off. If it's something, and the doctor that I had dealt with, who introduced me sort of to this stuff, explained it to me as, you probably have a neon arrow over your head. Because they will seek out people that will help them.
Right.
And,
or people they think can help them, and that's...
Yes.
That turns into a problem. I know this particular affliction that runs in our family, for some of us, some people think it's a gift and some people think it's affliction, but it is very present in my family, my biological family, especially my children. And I've told them all the same thing over and over and over. You can either just accept that this is part of your life and it's the way it is, or you can think that you're crazy. It's your choice.
Right.
If you want to see a shrink and take a bunch of pills and think you're crazy, it's your option to do so. Or you can just accept that we're a little different and this is
right.
going to be part of your life and deal with it to the point where, you know, because things happen so often around here. I mean, just, I wouldn't say it's a daily thing, and we don't live in a haunted house. We're just haunted.
Right.
The other day I was sitting on the couch with my 18-year-old daughter and her best friend. We were just sitting there talking. The TV was off, and I distinctly heard a drawer in the kitchen open.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, did you guys hear that? And they're like, hear what? And I said, you didn't hear the drawer in the kitchen open? And they're both like, no. So I got up and went out and looked, and the drawer right beside my stove was pulled all the way out. And I
mm-hmm.
just started laughing. And they're like, they were both, oh, my God, getting all freaked out. And I said, now, why are you freaked out? So somebody just wanted our attention. Calm down. And
right.
I looked in the drawer just to see if there was something in there I was supposed to see. There was nothing in there other than my hot pads. And, you know, it was a junk drawer, so junk in my hot pads.
Right.
I shut the drawer, and I said out loud, if you were trying to show me something, you failed. Try again, because this did not work. And... The girls started laughing because I'm so matter of fact about it now that it doesn't faze me.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens all the time. You know, a week or two ago, I was standing with another daughter in my living room. We were talking, all the windows were shut, and all of a sudden my bedroom door slammed. And she jumped and screamed, and I started laughing. Calm down, honey.
See, I still haven't quite got that reaction down yet.
I think it comes over time and the more accepting that you are. And some people, I don't think some people ever adjust to it. I really don't. But I'm fairly pragmatic, I think, in most ways. And it's gotten to the point where, now, if I turned around and walked face first into a diabolical entity, girl, I will be screaming and running the other way, I promise you. Yelling St. Michael's Prayer and the Lord's Prayer, probably simultaneously if I can figure out how to do it. that would freak me out. But as far as ghosts, I mean, I tell my kids all the time, and I tell other people all the time, because since I published the Haunted books, I've met a whole lot of people with ghost stories to tell. And some are very unnerved by it. And this is usually the analogy I use. When you go to Walmart, are you scared because there's people surrounding you? Most will
right.
say no. I say, well, when you're surrounded by ghosts, they're dead people.
What kind of people?
Well, right, but you don't know when you're in a store. You don't know what kind. You could be standing next to a serial killer. You don't know.
Exactly.
And the ghost is the same. It's just they're just dead people. You don't know if they're good or bad. You can make a judgment call. You could be right. You could be wrong. But there's no point in getting all freaked out about it because there's nothing you can do about it.
No.
So, anyhow, that's enough of me. This show is supposed to be about you.
You're fine.
I would like to know about the evidence part of it. When you're collecting and gathering evidence, what little gadgets do you use? Do you have, like, you know, a chest full of things like they do on ghost hunters, or do you just use certain things, or how do you go about gathering evidence?
Well, the first time, all we did was use digital cameras and a voice recorder on my cell phone. The second time, when we went to the home where we crossed over the little boy, and there was a demonic entity there also, they had the equipment. Because they had done several paranormal investigations prior to that and sort of just kind of invited us in as a consultant. But they had, like, the EVP readers. They had baby monitors. They used the flashlight technique where they would say, you know, if you're here, please click the flashlight on. Or
right. I think that's so cool. I love that.
She used that when we were down in the basement, and that's how the little boy was communicating at certain points. But the thing is, like, I'm glad he did those things because it confirmed that he was actually present, because I could hear him anyway. He didn't need to prove that he was there to me.
Mm-hmm.
But when he hit the flashlight, then everybody knew he was there.
Right.
And the EVP, he would use the EVP to contact and to show himself and different things like that. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead and finish.
The baby monitors caught a lot of screeching and screaming.
Oh, creepy.
But like I said, there was a demonic entity in the home as well. And the other group, because we split up, half of us stayed upstairs, half of us stayed downstairs, and then we switched. And they said that there were several times that they would hear screeching and screaming on the monitor. And the little boy blatantly said, I'm not allowed to leave here. That thing will not let me leave. And we finally convinced him that he didn't have to stay there. But when we went upstairs and they switched to the downstairs, that made me very uncomfortable because it was the same icky feeling that I had at my own house.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were sitting in the bedroom, we took the gentleman in there because he was a trigger for this thing, because he was very angry. He was very bitter. He was feeding this energy.
Yeah.
And when we were sitting there, I mean, we had to end up praying most of the time because I would be touched. My hair would be messed with. I mean, and I thought, and you could just feel the anger emanating from this individual. And I kept saying, you have got to stay calm. And he just could not do it. And the madder he got, the more powerful this thing became. And I finally told my partner, I was like, we got to get out of here. We've got to get out of here. We're not doing any good. We've got to get out of here. And even when we did our releasing prayer, there was... And we all felt that it was standing over in the corner. Then you would hear it out in the hallway. I mean, it was very unnerving, but it was not the same feeling when I walked out that door. I knew it wasn't with me. I knew it wasn't going to come with me. it was stuck there because that man was giving it everything it wanted. But we just, I mean, they had all the good equipment, but in the first one, we just had digital cameras and my cell phone, and that was pretty much it.
Have you ever worked with a ghost box or what they call a spirit box? You know, it's the piece of equipment that uses the static noise, and some of them are rigged so they go, like, through multiple radio stations and pick up words, and spirits are supposed to use them to speak. Have you ever worked with anything like that?
I have never used one of those.
If I had one of those, I would get no work done, dude. I would just be sitting chatting with the dead folks forever.
Like, well, I would say, like, what should I have for lunch? And it'd say, and it'd be flipping through the channels and say, corn, beef, sandwich.
Tell me your story so I can write it down. I would that to me is so fascinating. You know, I know that you can overdo. I know of a lady that got so into EVPs that it really, she lived in a haunted house and it took over her life. And I mean, it completely took over her life. She had, I don't even know how many hundreds of tapes she had, and she got to the point where she was so obsessed with it. That's what she did, you know, morning, noon, and night.
That's so, like, hey, you know what that is? That's Facebook with the dead.
That sounds about right.
I like
this cool.
Post and share it with your friends.
Yeah. Hey, just like pass it over somehow.
That's great.
Facebook with my dead friends today. I think some of the, and like a thermal cam, if I had a thermal cam, I would be forever walking around my house with a thermal cam trying to catch stuff, which is probably a good thing I don't have any of that stuff because it would be a bad deal. I would never, I already don't get stuff done on time, so that would really be bad. TV is enough of a distraction, that would absolutely kill me. That would be the end of my writing career.
Hey, you know what would be cool?
What?
Would be to take a roll of film, just, you know, go and buy a roll of film that can be developed somewhere, or one of those you know, disposable cameras, and go into one of those places and tell the spirit to superimpose itself on the film so you can see what it looks like. And
that would
then
be
take
pretty
the film,
creepy.
Take the film and have it developed and see if it's actually possible that something like that could be done.
That would be a really cool experiment.
Yeah, it wouldn't cost anything, you know, for, you know,
well,
hardly
no.
anything.
So Tracy, hands down, what's the scariest place you ever investigated? Was it one you've already talked about, or is there another place? Or hands down, scariest place, the place you'd never go back to, never in a million years.
I think it was Walmart, from what I've heard.
That is a pretty scary place sometimes.
Like, when
you
just
stay
when you
go
away
from that
keep
place.
Your head down and walk. You don't look around.
Yeah, that's right. I see nothing. I see nothing.
And people try to follow you home, you know, so
yeah.
Like that.
Do you have any money? No. That's why I'm a Walmart, damn it.
See, that's
I
why I
no
go
money.
Look like crap in sweats, because nobody approaches me for money because I look like I'm homeless.
Hey, Willow,
would
you like to see if there's anybody listening online that on the phone that would like to ask a question? We could open up the line for any questions.
Yeah,
right,
if you have any questions, call in. Is anybody on the line right now?
I believe there's some people on the line, and if they are on the line, they would like to ask a question. All I have to do is press 1, and
okay.
I'll be able to put
them through. While we're doing that, Tracy, answer that question, girl. What's the scariest place?
Well, out of the 4 places that I've gone, I would never go back to Crybaby Bridge or Elizabeth's Grave. Those 2 places have demonic activity linked to them undoubtedly. And
okay.
I would never, ever, ever, ever go back to either of those 2 places.
So future plan, when I come to Ohio and you take me ghost hunting, we will not go there.
No.
Hey, I have an idea. Hey, mix rock salt with red brick dust and, like, drive by real fast and throw it out the window.
Oh, man, you just want to tick them off. That's a bad idea.
Yeah,
no,
how do I know? Because I know this. When you're
kind of like toilet paper in
mad,
your trees, right?
Bad things happen.
Yeah, you don't want to make them mad. But and that's what that dude was doing. He was taunting, and I thought, man, you've got to calm down because you're going to do something bad, and that's exactly what he did. He pissed it off so bad that it was like, well, I'll just crawl up on your back and see what I can get done. That was horrifying. It was absolutely horrifying.
I'm telling you what. I've been on a couple of ghost hunts, but I knew when I was walking in that they were ghost hunts and that's what I was walking into. I already knew by the things that were going on when they told me, you know, what was happening in their house, that it was just a ghost. Because you can tell when it's, I mean, not in a place like a graveyard or whatever, but you can tell by the activity pretty much
and
what you're walking into.
That was the thing with the house that we investigated. I knew we were walking into another situation with a demon. I knew that because it was physically attacking the people, and it was leaving that famous 3-scratch. And I thought, we're walking in here to a dark entity. And then we ended up finding a little boy stuck there. And then we were also on tribal ground. So there was a multitude of Indian entities there, but they were non-threatening. I mean, they kind of stayed back to see what all was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you could feel them on the property. You knew that they were there. But to walk into that place knowing here we go again was very frightening to me. As a matter of fact, before we even got started, I went into the bathroom to be alone and say, is this really what you want me to do? Because if you don't want me to do this, I'm out of here. And it was, you're going to be fine. You're here to help them. Just stay focused and listen to what you're supposed to be listening for.
I hate to try to be funny or anything, but when you're in that situation and you have to use the bathroom, do you just like hold it because you know somebody's watching? I mean, seriously, if you watch and you say, hey, you're going to have to leave the room for just a second here. Does that work?
Not always, no. not with the people that end up surrounding me. No.
So basically, you just hold it, right? You just wait until you get home.
No.
Or you stop at McDonald's
on
the way.
You just learn to not be camera shy, Jeff.
No.
Yeah, what if they like splash back on you?
I guess I don't feel so bad like pottying when I know that I'm surrounded by people or entities or whatever, because one of them is actually my grandmother, my paternal grandmother, who I've actually never met. She died in the 60s before I was even born. But I have the most contact with her on a daily basis. So I kind of feel like, you know, if she would have been around, she'd have been diapering my butt anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered.
So really, it's no different than going into a public restroom, right, with no stall doors?
No, it's really not, because honest to God, they probably stand outside the door and are like, will you hurry up, for God's sake, we need to talk to you.
And they go, whoo, what'd you eat?
Yeah.
I feel I don't have those types of experiences where I feel like I'm surrounded.
I don't typically on a daily basis.
Oh, wow. See, that to me, that might be a little much. I mean, it has happened before, but not in a situation where I felt threatened. I'm not real good with small spaces. I really am not. Elevators freak me out. So if I was in a small space, like a bathroom, and all of a sudden there was, you know, five entities in there with me, and I would be
Speaking of elevators, at my job, we have to ride elevators because there's like 10 floors in the building, and I work on the 7th floor. And there was a guy who worked with us when we moved over there last December, and he used to sneak down to the 5th floor and take a nap. And he got caught. He got caught taking a nap down there one time. But then, like, about 6 months ago, he had a fatal heart attack.
Oh, wow.
He had gone to New Orleans for Mardi Gras or something like that. And the day before he was supposed to come back, he had a fatal heart attack. And now, since he had that fatal heart attack, the 5th floor of that building has been vacant now ever since we moved into it. And it, almost several times a day, when you're on that elevator and you're going from the 1st floor past the 5th floor, it stops and the door opens on the 5th floor.
Oh, my.
No one has pushed that button. And we even acknowledge the fact that it's the ghost floor. And the reason we know that nobody's pushed the button is because the lights on those floors are sensor activated. So if anybody had been there to push the button, the lights would be on in the hallway of that floor, but the lights are always off. So we just kind of ran into the phone going.
You know, you'd think he wouldn't be that attached to his job if he slept on it so often.
Well, I
know.
I don't think he was so much attached.
Maybe that's why. He was paid nap time. Who didn't want that?
I don't think maybe he was so much attached to the job, but it was something that was unfinished business for him.
Yeah,
because
it's a residual haunting, absolutely.
Yeah, he was really close to the people that he worked with. I mean, they would go to the bar after work and things like that together. And I think that he had unfinished business that he didn't get to say goodbye to those people. And
yeah,
that maybe he came back
right
there and became trapped on that floor.
Or
he just comes
sad
to visit occasionally.
That's sad.
Yeah. That is.
Jeff, you need to go cross him over, dude. You go on, step out on the 5th floor and say, Mr. whatever your name is, you are not supposed to be here. You need to step into the light. You have loved ones waiting for you. You are not supposed to be here. That's
your job tomorrow
when you take your break, man.
It sure is a hassle when you're in a hurry to get to a conference call and you get stopped at the 5th
floor.
You're
probably like, dude,
right,
can you please just not do this today?
Yeah, I mean, really.
I will come back later, I promise.
No. That's cool, though. That's really cool. It's so funny. You know, I was just talking to someone on the page the other day, and I'm not going to say her name because she's actually, her story is in Haunted 4, and so I was, you know, asking her questions and grilling her through messages, trying to get the details right. And she doesn't talk much about her paranormal experiences, but she said when she does, it seems like if there's, you know, more than one person there, at least one other person there will have had an experience that they want to talk about. And I believe that that paranormal events happen all the time, every day, to many more people than it doesn't happen to. And
I really
feel like that shows like this and books and movies and whatnot have really opened the door for people to start being honest. Because even a skeptic, you can be in a room full of skeptics, and at least one of them will have a story to tell you about something that might have been paranormal, but they don't really think it is, but they still have a story
right
to tell.
Yes.
Which, you know, of course, if I'm there, I'm like, dude, you're denying denial.
Exactly. I'm like, wake up.
That was most definitely a ghost, honey. Do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
But I really do. I think that most people do experience paranormal events, and they just are scared to talk about him because they think that people are going to brand him like a lunatic.
Or they experience
Exactly.
him and they experience, maybe they experience him so often that they don't even notice it anymore.
Yeah, that could be it too. That could, because
yeah,
I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of things that I'm just so used to that it doesn't bother me anymore. Like the building that I work in, there was one day that, matter of fact, my partner in the paranormal investigations had just left my office, and I saw her come back in, and I turn, and there's nobody there. So I called her over, and I said, "Did you just walk back into my office?" And she said, "No." And I knew I was in there with someone, and the other girl that's down the hallway, she came in with some type of app where you could, like, communicate, and they would answer you back. I have no idea what this app was called. But whoever was in there, I knew it was a gentleman, and I knew that he was not happy. And I remember him, when she would ask a question, he cussed. Like, it was like, he said ass or jackass or something like that, and I thought, well, screw you too. And
hey, is this an iPhone app that you're talking about?
Yes, she has an iPhone app.
Okay, now she's gonna have to tell the secret so we can put it on our Facebook page so everybody can get that app and just carry it around with them. And what does that app actually do?
I think it's like an EVP reader or some type of thing. I have no idea what it's even called. But she pulled it up and she was able to ask questions, and then it would pick up, like, it was an electronic voice, but it would pick up vocalizations. And
this
dude was mad. And I kept thinking, because she didn't really know, like, people say, let me go on a ghost hunt with you. No, 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 no. That's not something to play with. I don't want to take people with me that don't understand. And it was almost like she was, I don't want to say she was taunting because she wasn't meaning to do that, but this entity was mad. And I thought, you're just making him madder. So I ended up being like, I can't help you right now. I'm trying to do my job, and I'm trying to get ready for court, and I can't do this right now. But
wait, I'm sorry to interrupt. There's a question on the chat room. It says, what type of things would a person have to know to understand if these events are happening to them?
Good grief. That's a loaded question.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that it's very individualized. And what necessarily happens to me may not happen to Willow. Even though it's the same entity, it could be
right.
completely different for each of us. So, honestly, I think it's something that, and I got most of my help from a reader, because when I realized things were happening to me that I didn't understand, I went directly to a reader. And she was able to confirm what I already knew. But it's very individual. I don't think that you can
right.
say, yes, I know this is happening, and this is what it looks like, because it looks different for everybody.
Right. A lot of it depends on, I hate to use the word psychic, because that brings in so many connotations that aren't really accurate to the situation.
Right.
But there are so many different forms. Most people think that anything that's psychic is like the three T's, the telekinesis, telepathy, and for some reason I can't remember the third one right now. But they tend to think of it in aspects of, well, okay, so if you're psychic, you're a medium, or you can
right.
do this or do that. Everybody, to some extent, and I do believe to some extent, everybody has a smidge of psychic, and I'm only using that term because I don't have a better one to use.
I completely agree with that.
How about
I completely agree with
smidge?
That.
And I think that depending on how capable you are of tuning into that aspect of your psyche and your mind, that is what allows you to see more, hear more, do more. There are a lot of people who have they never see anything paranormal. They've never seen a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
They've never heard a ghost. They've never got that eebie-jeebie feeling when they're in a haunted house. However, those same people who say ghosts don't exist, that's all crap, will tell you over and over again that they experience deja vu.
Which is
something that happens. It is where you find yourself in a situation where you feel like you've been there before, and then you realize that you have dreamed it, which that is a prophetic dream. You've had a prophetic dream, which is a form of psychic activity. So I really feel like, to answer your question, what do you have to know to understand if they're happening? First of all, anytime that you're dealing with anything paranormal, I feel like, and Tracy, if you disagree with me, please feel free to say so, you should absolutely approach every paranormal event with skepticism.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
Before you say this is a ghost, now there are certain things, I mean, nobody was in my kitchen and the drawer freaking opened, so obviously, you know, I've not yet to hear, unless there's some weird magnetic field in the middle of my kitchen that sucked the drawer open, chances are that was a paranormal event.
Exactly.
But I think you should try, if you see things that happen, these weird bangs and noises, and you need to listen and you need to investigate, you need to see where it's coming from, because a lot of times things that appear paranormal are absolutely 100% normal.
Explainable, yes. I'll agree with that, definitely.
And when you can't find...
Hello, who's this? Hello?
Hello?
I'm here. We just... Something glitched.
Did I lose you?
You lost me for like 5 seconds.
What? Okay.
I'm so weird, but everything went dead really quick, and I thought, wow.
Oh, wow. What's going on in your house tonight, Trace?
Actually, we have somebody who called in, and I'm not too familiar with the screening call, so I'm going to put them on live and see what they have to say. And
Okay,
so here we go.
Okay.
Hello, who's calling?
Hey.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Who's calling?
Oh, just Dr. James Russell. The name doesn't matter. Quick question. You said something about deja vu, right?
Right.
And how it's a prophetic realization or something? I can't remember your exact words.
Generally, if you're having a situation where you find that you're living something that you know you've dreamed, that's because you've had a prophetic dream.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, I've experienced deja vu quite a bit in my life, and I was a bit interested about it, so I went up looking up stuff, and I hear all these things about prophecies or just aliens even, and I need to grab the tinfoil hats. But what I found out recently is that it's just a disconnect between what you're realizing and seeing and how it goes about. So there's like a broken synapses, kind of. Not really broken, but it's like a pathway that malfunctioned for a couple seconds. So you're getting mixed signals or just a late signal. So that's why it feels familiar.
So basically, in other words, what you're saying is that it's like a short circuit that cycles back, and for a split second, you're basically reliving that moment in your mind.
Yeah, it's kind of like a delayed signal.
Hmm.
But what if you can clearly remember dreaming that exact moment?
coincidental, but that's why I said it's just a delayed circuit. You see it and you perceive it, but then it doesn't really kick in your mind until a little bit later. It's an uneasy remembrance feeling, like you could have swore you had it before. And then it goes in play with how people tend to create memories out of nothing. You can probably convince somebody that they went to Disneyland when they were five. Even, they might say, no, we didn't at first, but you can do it. You can convince them.
From a forensic standpoint, I can attest to that. I think that's what's so hard about understanding parts of the paranormal and then comparing them academically with the background in forensics is a lot of the things, for example, the deja vu theory that you just mentioned, forensically, that makes perfect sense, and that is
right.
What scientists believe is happening. And then you have the paranormal spin on it where, as Willow explained, that there are theoretical prospects that it's an issue with the time-space continuum even. But it's probable in both circumstances completely. So
oh,
I can
yeah.
say...
Right,
and
we can't deny the science.
We cannot deny the science ever.
And I always say science first, which is why I say approach everything paranormal with skepticism, because there's some hardcore facts that you can't debate. And I do agree with you, Doctor. What was your last name again? I'm sorry.
Russell's.
Dr. Russell, I do agree with you, I do believe that does happen. I do believe also, and I hate to say this because it makes me sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth.
You are.
I do believe that sometimes what is perceived as paranormal is actually a mental illness. But
yes,
I do
that
not
is correct
think,
also.
I do not think that all things in that realm of events are mental illness. I don't think, you know, because I know I'm not crazy, which is what we all say, right? All of us lunatics say we're not crazy. I know I'm not crazy, but I also know what I see and hear and feel, and it become just an everyday part of my life. But we can't rule out the science, ever. Because
right.
a lot
and
of
I think
times,
that's what makes it so difficult, is because as with the background in psychology and forensics, when we did case studies on schizophrenics and they're telling you, I see angels and demons out there on the tree, you're thinking, do you really see them? Because
the paranormal
piece of you is saying, yes, it's very possible, but yet the scientific part of you that needs evidence-based practice sees it as, you have schizophrenia, we need to give you these meds to help you with that. And some of that is very viable. They do have schizophrenia, and there are components of the mental illness, and then you have, it's a difficult, delicate balance.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a family member who was looking after a schizophrenic, paranoid schizophrenic for a while, like kind of charity work, but they were getting paid by the government for it too. It was a bit odd because she kept saying things of how angels were talking to her and God was talking to her and everything. And although it did quickly turn into some kind of violent tendencies and urges to the point where they had to kind of like get her out of the house because they were afraid of their animals, especially.
Right.
I sound crazy, but I can't say a part of me couldn't say she wasn't. You have to consider all possibilities. Sometimes there are
right.
things you just can't explain.
Right.
Right, because especially if the voices that they're hearing are telling them things that they wouldn't normally know.
Exactly.
You know, in the case, we keep talking about this tonight, and it's one of my taboo subjects, but I'm going to bring it up again. In the case of a demonic possession, when someone is speaking in a language that they have never learned fluently,
yeah.
a dead language that almost nobody knows, at that point, the science has to drop off and people have to, I would think, come to the realization that this is not humanly possible.
Right.
Something else is going on here. But, you know, if they're speaking gibberish or whatever, then chances are they've had a stroke or something, you know.
Right, exactly.
There is a very delicate line, like you said, Tracy, between actual paranormal and scientific evidence and medical issues. I think we've all probably heard stories about someone who'd never painted a picture before in their life all of a sudden starts painting these beautiful, intricate paintings, and 6 months later they die from a brain tumor, and it was all caused because of where the tumor was pressing on the brain.
Right.
I'd like to just take a second and thank Dr. Russell for calling in.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Russell. It was great to
hear
you. Thank
you.
Have a good night.
You too. You know, it could appear to be some sort of miraculous inspiration, but it's actually just a tumor, you know. And sad as it is, the scientific proof is there.
Yes.
So, anyhow, that was great. That was a great call. Do we have any other callers out there? Anybody else have anything they'd like to say or any questions they want to ask?
The co-host is standing by, waiting for your call.
you sounded like what's the politically correct name for stewardess anyhow? Airline personnel? Whatever.
Airline attendant.
You sounded like an airline attendant. The
if all the oxygen should leave the chamber, please put your mask on first, and then help assist the person next to you. And if the side of the plane does blow out, push them out first.
The exit doors are located.
So anyway,
and the floor will light up.
This has been a really intense show for the most part. I think that we should have Tracy tell us where she can be found. Give us some of her links.
Yes,
and,
absolutely. Let's give us your stalker information.
And Tracy, I think that it would probably be pretty good to have you on in the future again, and then we can talk some more about all this crazy stuff.
I appreciate that. Yes, it is a little bit crazy.
Well, you know, anytime you're talking about stuff that is out of the ordinary, you know, and people aren't really familiar with it, and they've seen all the movies. I mean, you know, I was thinking about watching The Apparition tonight, you know, before I got on the show, just, you know, for background material. You know, that's how I research. I watch the movies. You know, I've seen all the Paranormal Activity movies and everything, and I'm pretty well versed on it. So,
and see, what's odd is I can't watch those kind of movies anymore. They terrify me.
They
that's
get too close
weird.
To real life for you.
Yeah, I like on my
really?
YouTube channel. I like that's one of the topics that I plan on talking about in December is why horror movies are horrific. So I can't watch them. I mean, before that, I could watch anything. And I could not watch any of them. I mean, even the simplest, like the celebrity ghost stories, I can't watch them anymore.
Oh, wow.
Someone told me the other night, they were like, don't ever watch The Conjuring. And I'm like, you don't have to tell me twice.
Oh, speaking of that,
go ahead,
Willa. Conjuring,
for our listeners, on our next show, which is October the 25th, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, we are going to have Andrea Perrin, author of House of Darkness, House of Light, the book that The Conjuring is based on. And we get her for 2 full hours. So, if the show lasts 2 hours, but make sure you stop in because if Tracy didn't scare the pants off of you, Andrea will, I promise.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Tracy, will you be able to tune in for that one? I mean, or would that fall under the lines of watching the movie?
Well, I actually will be out of town that night. I am actually taking my son on a birthday trip. So
What better way to celebrate a birthday?
Oh, yeah.
No, Trace, you open your thing.
Call in and put it on speaker for them.
I'm sure that will be wonderful with my 12-year-old and his 11-year-old best friend.
There you go, and they'll keep you up all night.
That probably wouldn't. He's probably in there shaking in his boots right now because my husband's listening to the show.
Oh,
I'm sure my son's going, "What is she saying?"
I would just as a husband myself, I would just like to congratulate your husband on living with this kind of a situation and really not pulling his hair out.
I'm sure he would definitely accept the sympathy because he is like, there's been things that have been happening lately that I've not really discussed with him at all, but I've been sleeping with the light. Yeah, until now. I've been sleeping with the light on in my bedroom because of some very disturbing experiences lately. And he's like, "Why are you sleeping with the light on?" I'm like, "Don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it." But they don't bother him. Like, if he's in here and he's asleep, I don't get bothered. But if he's not in here, it's like Grand Central Station.
Well,
and
it's
worse this time
of year, right? I mean, it's worse this time of year for me, isn't it, for you?
Yes, the veil thins at this time of year, and it's just like I'm laying here and I'm meditating and I'm, you know, communing and different things, and then I hear this big bang on my nightstand, and I'm thinking, "What the hell was that?" And I wake up and I'm already awake, but I turn the light on, there's nothing there, and I'm thinking, "What do you want now?" I've got to
probably
get some
drink of water.
When that kind of stuff happens here, I know we said we were going to end the show, but obviously we're not.
Hey, we're ending the show, Willow.
No, we're not.
I want her website, darn it.
Let me finish what I was saying, mister.
Oh, go ahead. You're the host. Yeah, go ahead.
When those types of things happen here, and truly it's a rare thing because generally before they get that active, they've already made their presence known to me and I've given them what for because I'm really kind of a, I can't say the whole word because, you know, the whole FCC thing, but I'm a hard A when it comes to their activity. And so once they've shown themselves to me in whichever manner they choose to, I let them know immediately, this is not allowed, this is not allowed, this is not allowed, this is not allowed. And if you break my rules, you are out the door. And if they do, they are out the door. I don't care what they have to say. It's nothing I want to hear if they're not going to follow house rules. If I could train the suckers to do dishes, I'd be thrilled to pieces. But I haven't figured that one out yet. So
Willow,
we don't...
I think you should post the house rules. I mean, just write them out and put them up. Get a blackboard.
I thought about actually writing a book called Willow's Guide to Being a Good Ghost for Ghostly Etiquette that people could read before they died so they knew how to behave after.
That is awesome.
But I haven't got around to it yet.
I think you should take an audio book and play it over and over again all day long.
That's great.
All right, we really are going to end the show. Tracy, give us your link so that all the listeners can check you out. And you guys got to go to YouTube and hear these stories because I'm telling you, I was listening to some of the videos earlier today and my skin was crawling. And I'm very used to ghostly activity, but she's got some stories that'll scare the devil right out of hell, and I'm not kidding. Okay, go ahead, stalker links.
My main website is Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-E, Ford, F-O-R-D.com. That has links to my blog. Right now I'm currently running a fundraiser for breast cancer research, and I've lowered the price of my books, and then they can, when they purchase the books through the website, they'll get signed copies of the books, as well as I will be making a donation to breast cancer research because I recently had a very scary situation and ended up having a lumpectomy. So I'm really kind of pushing that right now. The blog, which is actually the premise of the YouTube videos, is tracyford.wordpress.com. The Southern Ohio Ghost Hunters is only available on Facebook. And then I have my Facebook fan page, which is www.facebook.com, and it's author Tracy Ford. And I also have a marketing consulting business that I just started probably about a month ago, and I'm trying to offer marketing coaching services. I don't market authors. That's not what I do. I teach you how to market yourself through various different means. But that's about the best way to find me is the tracyford.com, because it's got links on it to everywhere that I'm available and interviews that I've completed, and then I'll end up posting the link to this on there as well. But that's basically the best place to find me and to contact me as far as if you have questions or whatever.
I believe if you scroll down on our Blog Talk Radio page that you will also find some of your links. And I just want to tell our listeners out there tonight that if you're planning on registering our domain name, you better hurry up before Tracy owns them all.
Okay, I want to say before we shut down for the night, we're having a very special Halloween show October 29th, 9 p.m. Eastern. Everybody needs to tune in. We have got something really special in store for you folks. I hope you enjoy it. This will definitely
smash your pumpkin.
Fun.
Yeah, it'll smash your pumpkin.
It will be Mark Casper Cook, J.H. Glaze, Katie Miller, Jennifer Malone Wright, and myself. And we will be in character, and hopefully we're going to give you some good laughs and some good scares. So please join us for that show. And J.H., do you want to give any of your links?
Yeah, I can be found on Facebook as J.H. Glaze. I am on Amazon as J.H. Glaze. You can find all of my books. I have 12 books available right now. And you can find me on Twitter as The Most Cool One. That's The Most Cool One. And basically, if you search for J.H. Glaze, you'll find me all over the web on various people's blogs. And I would like to thank everyone for listening tonight, and for everybody who will be listening to the recording later on. And I'm hoping that you'll take the time out of your busy day in a couple of weeks and join us for our next show.
Yes, and from the World of Ink Network, thank you for joining us. Make sure you check out the World of Ink Network's page, all of our fellow hosts and shows that we have, and have a good night, everybody.
And thank you, Tracy, for being here. It was an awesome, awesome conversation.
Yeah, awesome show. Thank you,
Tracy. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Have a great night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.